Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 113, Illumination.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, hello to you all, wherever you are in the world. I hope you're staying well, and I hope you enjoyed the meditation from last time. Making connections is so important to us at this time where there is a lot of distrust. Just continue to shine out that joy, that sense of we are all one. We need that. And why did I pick this particular subject? Well, the full moon and now the waning moon has been shining through my bedroom window saying, wake up, wake up, time to be illuminated. Now, I don't think it was particularly telling me it's time to be enlightened, it might be, but more important is illuminating the darkness, shining a light into the shadows, shining a light into those things that haven't been seen for a while. Now, they don't have to be negative. They are, let's wake up and let's look at those things that maybe we've stored away in a closet for a long time or we haven't wanted to go back to. So when I talk about illumination, it's purely about sending light into places that have been dark for a while, bringing something out that may be the most valuable gift that we forgot that we had hidden. And this is very much the act of Pluto. Pluto, the great goddess who wants us to know all our gifts and who's been showering us with these gifts. And sometimes we're saying, I don't want that. I'm not ready for that. I'm certainly not ready for that sort of power. And so I felt that everything that's going on in the world today is asking us not to just say, oh, everything is fine, but literally uncover those things that have been hidden so that we can be empowered, so that we can accept all that we are. And I feel that what's going on in the heavens is helping us here on earth. In other words, our sun has woken up. She's been very quiet for the last 3 years. No flares, no storms. And all of a sudden, she's saying, hello, I'm here. And there have been very large storms, fortunately not coming towards our Earth, but that may well change. And when they do, it's not just the fact that our GPS systems may be affected, but we're being affected. That light that comes through us like a lightning rod. At the same time, we're starting to see larger and larger earthquakes happen around the world. And we recognize that has something to do with the flares, something to do with the sun's storms. But it also has something to do with the fact that this magnetic field around our Earth has become weaker and weaker. I've spoken about this in the past, whereas before we used to say, well, that's definitely the North Pole, South Pole magnetically. Now there's very little difference between the magnetic poles. And therefore, we have a sort of wandering polar system. And we also know that those poles have shifted, which meant that aircraft's guidance systems had to shift, but it's not necessarily saying, oh yes, now there's the North Pole in Siberia. It's just that there's so much flux, so much change. Some people, of course, are talking about a magnetic reversal. In other words, the North becomes the South, if you want to see it that way. But let's not go that far. What we're saying is nothing is as we thought it was. Everything is in flux. And as I say, not only in flux, but things are stirring. The earthquakes, the sun, things are moving. People have even been talking about more heat coming out of the universe, more black holes appearing around our own galaxy. So something is waking up in a big time. And I use that word illumination, as I say, not just to say light versus dark. It's as if everything is shifting. So what we used to call even dark matter out in space or junk DNA in our DNA, everything is waking up, everything is moving, everything is becoming more conscious, because that's what it means to be more conscious. That's enlightenment. not just, as I say, being love and light. It's about light is consciousness. Consciousness is knowing. Knowing ourselves is shining that light into those closets, shining that light into places that we haven't looked before. So I hope you are excited by this. We have a solar eclipse coming up on the 14th of this month, 14th of December. This is an amazing time in Sagittarius. And what does that mean? That means Sagittarius is about expansion, travel. Oh, I wish we could. But traveling in our minds, traveling in the sense of opening our minds to higher philosophy, higher religion, higher teaching. We always talk about those things. It's not just about staying in the same box. It's saying, let's push the box out. Let's push the sides of the box. Let's get out of the box. And let's explore places that we haven't been before. And this is why when we are looking at this amazing conjunction that's happened between Jupiter and Saturn, that's coming up on the 21st of December, the solstice. This is a conjunction that happens every 20 years, but this particular conjunction has not actually appeared since the early 1400s in Aquarius. So what they're saying is that this is a 600-year conjunction between Jupiter, expansion, 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 Saturn, structure, structure, structure. And I don't necessarily see it only as Saturn is bad, Jupiter is good. They both have their problems. We can get so Jupiterian that we actually become a little manic. And we can become so Saturnal that we can't see outside that box. So I think that this conjunction coming together, I like to say Saturn creates firm foundations for our expansion. They could work together, earth and fire. And so this idea that on this 21st of December, it's literally we have a launch pad for our expansion. And this is very exciting. Now, just to finish on that, and I'm sure I'll talk about it again, these two planets coming together actually astronomically will appear as a double planet in the sky. Now, even now, I was just out looking last night. They are very close. So do find your night app stars that you have and look at these two planets, because they're going to become so close together in the sky from around the 15th of this month till the 25th that they will appear as one planet. That hasn't happened since the 1200s. So I am excited by all of this that's happening, and I feel that it is about expansion, illumination, the idea of who we are as human beings. Not only exploring space, but exploring our space. What takes up our space? What does it mean to be an interdimensional being? And to do that, it's breaking down a lot of boundaries, a lot of structures that have given us a sense of security, a sense of identity. Again, Saturn has a part to play in that. We believe something, therefore it must exist. And when we have that belief, we go, phew, thank goodness I've got that belief, because otherwise I'd feel really insecure. And so what we're seeing is our own belief systems being challenged. And that's been happening all year as the caterpillar became the cocoon, or the structure of the caterpillar with all its legs on the ground, feeling very safe because it knew exactly who it was. It had this job, this five-year plan, this idea about the future, this financial security, all went up in air. And all of a sudden, all those things that we pinned our security hopes on may have been dashed. Now, out of that may have become new ideas and new securities, but don't get too comfortable. I keep hearing people saying, oh, well, we can't wait for this year to end. 2021 is going to be fantastic. Well, I keep coming back to the fact that things are not going to settle for the next few years. And I don't want them to settle. This is our old plan. Let's just go back to where we are. Let's just make everything safe. Let's just create this house and close our ears and close our eyes and close our mouth and hope everything will go away. Well, it's not going to. Now, it could if that's what you want, But I feel the sun's activity, the lack of clarity from our magnetic field, the changes in the planets themselves, and I think we're going to see more changes on the Earth, are going to cause us to not cling on to old beliefs. Where's the leaders telling us what to do? Please, will someone tell me what to do? Please, will someone tell me where we're going? It's going to actually throw us back more fully into our inner knowing, more fully into what we call true north. And true north is not a magnetic north. It's actually the pole of the Earth, the physical, we could say physical pole of the Earth. Where's it pointing? And at the moment, it points towards the pole star, Polaris. But it's generally and very slowly moving around the skies. So even what we consider is a true north is going to stay there. No, it also moves very slowly. And it's that slow move of the wobble of our Earth that changes our consciousness. And we are changing. We are moving. We can't stop it. It's happening. There are things that we don't want to stop. And one of the things that is definitely going to change is the fact that time, temporally induced mind experiment, you've heard me say this, is dissolving. We need to move away from this linear idea of past, present, future, of different levels, different hierarchical levels. And so what if all our lives are happening now? What if it's just where we are now is our truth? And I feel the illumination is shining on this idea of not having to climb a certain way. In other words, I'm on a spiritual path, or I'm on a job ladder. I'm climbing up the ladder of my job. All of that is hierarchical. Do you understand that? That sense of there's here me, I'm here now, and I've got to go there. That's going to dissolve. There is no there. There's no here. Well, there is a here, but our here is not based on the past. It's not based on some plan that says you're not perfect now. You have to keep going until you're perfect. All of that is such a misnomer. It's such an illusion. And as I'm speaking to you, I'm feeling like that kid that I was and am. As you know, I always talk about myself as a curious child that says, please, miss, please, sir, why are you saying that? That doesn't make sense to me. Does that sound like you? You see, I have a moon in Aquarius, apart from my Gemini, a lot of Gemini, but I'm always like, I want to understand this. This doesn't make sense. And we're moving into more Aquarian energy than we've had for a very long time. And I'm like, yay. But I'm also like, I have to try and understand something. And when I can't understand it, I've learned to just say, it's not my way. In other words, not try and turn myself inside out to understand something. So I'm recognizing there's a lot going on that I don't understand. That doesn't mean my logical mind can't understand it, but my heart doesn't understand it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. My heart is my great barometer. This is where I measure everything, not with my head. I also use my third eye, which is part of my intuition. My heart speaks what's the most loving thing to do. My third eye says what's the wisest thing to do. Together, they are my intuition. And I've had many times in my life where my intuition does not tally with the rest of the world, does not tally with what I'm being told. So my being told is just the information. My intuition says that doesn't tally, that doesn't make sense, that doesn't not just resonate with me, but doesn't actually follow through. If I shone a light on that, that would not have any sense of moving forward into a reality. And I think about the beginning of the Emerald Tablet. I'm very much into alchemy. And alchemy has this amazing treatise, the Bible of alchemy, called the the emerald tablet. It's a green tablet, we believe. And at the very start of it, it says, in truth, without deceit, certain and most veritable. Why does it say that? I mean, it could tell me all the wonderful things, but it says, you have to start with this. In truth, without deceit, certain and most veritable. And I've come to understand that means free of dogma, without an ego, centered in yourself, and intuitive. And I'm asking all of us to listen inside, root ourselves or center ourselves in our truth, our true north. Because everything is changing, the magnetic field of the earth is changing, the sun is changing, even the galaxy is changing. We can no longer look outside and say, well, that's going to be my guidance. What we need to understand is we need to understand our own inner guidance. And that can be that anything I'm saying doesn't make sense. You can throw it out. I have no attachment to this. But it brings to mind what's going on in the world of coronavirus, COVID, and vaccinations. And I am being asked, you know, what shall I do about vaccines? I can't give guidance about that. I can only say, please follow the money, follow your truth, follow your heart. And you might say, I don't have a choice. Your choice is there. Your choice can be that you actually say, I don't choose to do this. But it's not the vaccine that's the problem. It's the information around it that's the problem. The reason it's happening. We didn't even know the words COVID-19 probably at the beginning of the year, except we should have done because we're now finding out that it was very present even back as far as September last year. The fact is that we are now moving into a phase where things are moving much faster than we thought they would. And they are moving faster because everything is speeding up, as I'm talking about. Everything is moving into a more enlightened state, an illuminated state. But there is also in that state the potential for illusion. So just before I come back to the vaccines, what the light does, it shines on our illusions. It shines on what is just a shadow. What is the real truth? This is Plato's cave, if any of you know it. What stories have I been telling myself that have made me feel good? What stories have I been telling myself that have created that security that I'm talking about? What beliefs am I holding on to that have made me again feel safe? And we often call those beliefs karma. My karma, there is no such thing as karma. Karma is only giving back what doesn't belong to you and taking from a situation what does belong to you. So I should not say there's no such thing as karma. I should say it does not define us. Karma is shining a light on something so we can make the decision, is this ours or is it not? That's what we are being given the ability to do at this time. The light is shining on anything that is holding us in an old paradigm. The stories we tell, the beliefs that have sustained us, our ancestral beliefs, our karmic beliefs, whatever we call them. If I hear it over and over again, tell me about my past lives because that will help me to know who I am now. Well, it doesn't necessarily do that. All it does is give us permission to stay in a place that does not suit us anymore. So if you want to know your past lives are here now. What lives, what aspects of ourself do we not want to own? That's all that's happening. And what I'm seeing is so many people being faced with big situations that may not have come up except for 2020. Nothing to do with COVID. Suddenly we're illuminating our relationships. Suddenly our fears, our doubts are being illuminated. Suddenly things that we thought we could just go along with are being illuminated. Things, jobs we just thought we'd keep doing until we retired, we don't want to do anymore. We can't do anymore. Relationships, again, that you felt, well, I just do this because I like to keep the peace. Well, there's no peace. Here we go. Situations, we're being thrown into situations where what we believe to be true, we can no longer go along with. It doesn't mean it was wrong. We must not get into the right and wrong situation. It's just not in alignment with our inner truth, our intuition anymore. Has that been happening to you? It's such a time for saying, I will look at that part of my life I keep pulling away from. I will head towards those things I love doing, even though everybody else tells me I'm crazy. I'm ready to be crazy. Shining a light on things may well come from a place of unhappiness, grief. Some of you may have lost loved ones. Some of you may be going through job losses. My heart goes out to you. But when we're in that hole, when we are in that darkness, we find a light that says, I am not giving up. I'm actually going to be inspired because all those things that I thought gave me security, sense of belonging, no longer exist. I'm going to move forward. The light is shining. It may not be bright. In the darkness, it can just be a candlelight that leads the way. It doesn't have to be an illumined sun. Please, this is a wonderful time for courage, for trust, for truth, and for your own sense of self-identity, your own truth. Again, don't follow me. Don't follow anyone. Follow yourself. Be crazy. Be unusual. Be different. Because we need every one of us to be planting that piece of our jigsaw on this earth now. We need every one of us not to be lost in our heads, not to be lost in our stories or our dreams. We need to be turning up now. We need to be shining our light into the world, not for the world to change, but for the world to see us as for who we are. To be that role model for our children, our children's children. This is the time for whatever has been asleep, like the sun, to wake up. And now I return to the information I just want to bring you about the illness, the COVID. Again, I bring this not because I know the whole truth. I want to just maybe shine a light on areas that you may not have thought about. So you can make a decision, you can make a choice, and you can have a voice. So what we know about viruses is that they need to get inside the cell, the nucleus of the cell, in order to replicate. Unlike a bacteria that has its own ability to replicate, a virus cannot do that. So as we talked about last time, a virus has to find a receptor site, a lock on the cell membrane, move through that cell membrane into the nucleus and use the DNA of that nucleus to be able to replicate. So any type of immunity that our body creates towards that virus is what we call cell immunity. And I've spoken about how we know that someone has immunity against COVID or any of the coronaviruses is because they have high levels of T killer cells. And what we now and have discovered is that almost 50% of the population already had T killer cells to the whole group of coronaviruses, which include the common cold. So that's why we know that some people have no symptoms and some people have minimal symptoms, because just naturally our immune system says, hey, recognize you. No, we're not going to spread any further. Thank you for coming, but we're not going further. So what we have understood over this time is that antibodies, which actually live in the bloodstream, even though they're produced by B cells, they actually do not last very long. And therefore, they are an indicator of infection, but they're not the true indicator of immunity. That makes sense? So it was very interesting. At the beginning of COVID, we were all talking about, let's do antibody tests. Then we can work out whether someone has or doesn't have COVID. But you might have noticed we didn't go any further. Those antibody tests just disappeared, because the proof that there are antibodies in the system does not define infectivity for a long period. It does define infectivity, but disappears very quickly. It doesn't say, is that person still infectious towards other people? That's what I meant to say. So it shows that I've been infected, but it doesn't say, can I spread it to other people? Nor does it define long-term cellular immunity. So these new vaccines have been placing their attention on antibody production. So it's saying, aha, look, these vaccines are producing antibodies. Well, that's saying, okay, so somehow they have created an infection inside me. My body is responding, but it says nothing about whether or not I'm still infectious towards you or whether I have long-term cell immunity. Make sense? Okay. The other side of this is the numbers. And we all keep hearing about 90% effective, 95% effective. What does that mean? It means they actually took 30,000 people. And the numbers may change, so I'm not going to say this is totally accurate, but that's one of the tests, or one of the researches was about 30,000 people. 15% were given the vaccine, 15% were not. 15,000 were given the vaccine, 15,000 were not. Okay, so you have two groups here. Around the world, we don't know anything else about them, but we're assuming they were fairly healthy volunteers. Out of that 15,000, 90 of the non-vaccinated group became infected, and 5 of the vaccinated group. 5 vaccinated, 90 non-vaccinated. Out of that, they said, look, the vaccine is 95% effective or 94% effective. But they don't look at the other 14,900 people who were not vaccinated who didn't get infected. And if you want to know more about this, I'm going to give great praise towards Dale Bigtree on the High Wire. Please look this up. He goes into this in much greater detail than I do. He's done this research. He too is not trying to say take the vaccine or don't, but at least understand where they're getting the information from. 15,000, 90 got infected in the non-vaccinated group, 5 in the vaccinated group. Therefore, it proves the vaccine works. Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't talk anything about the other 14,000. So they also said this is highly effective. What is effective to them? It means the person developed antibodies, okay? But it also said that it stopped. They proved that those 90 people who hadn't been vaccinated had symptoms. And those symptoms were relatively mild, and they tested positive on the PCR. We need to ask the questions. This is all I want, is to ask questions. Does this prove that we will have a lower mortality from coronavirus? Does this prove that we will reduce hospitalizations? Does this prove we will have less morbidity, in other words, long-term side effects from the illness? And does this prove that I cannot infect you? That is not proven. And that's why we needed far longer long-term studies, at least 2 to 3 years, because you cannot say, fine, I've got the vaccine. Oh, look, I produce antibodies, therefore it's effective. It tells me nothing. It doesn't tell me about cell immunity. It doesn't tell me whether or not next time COVID comes around, I'm going to get infected again. In other words, none of these subjects have been retested by getting the virus again. And that's our biggest challenge, because any of the studies that have done previously on coronavirus vaccines have found that when the subjects have been retested or re-challenged with coronavirus, we found that they have had quite severe immune responses, which might be autoimmune responses, cytokine storms, some form of myelitis. We need to understand that. And the last piece I'm going to place in here, maybe I could talk on forever. Please look deeper into what are the other adjuvants, Eddie. What else are they placing with the vaccine in order for it to work? In other words, it's not just putting a little bit of DNA or RNA into our body and then saying, boom. They've actually produced this in different ways using things like hydrogel to make sure the body didn't reject it. So please look up the information about what else is in this vaccine. And there is a concern, because instead of in the past, we would put a piece of the protein of the virus in the body and the body would recognize it and produce antibodies and immune response. This time, they're not going as far as putting a piece of the protein in. They're putting a piece of RNA that actually codes our body to produce the protein. In other words, we're producing the protein. We're producing the virus in our body. And that, of course, could have amazingly difficult responses. So it's not that we're giving you the actual protein or the deactivated protein of that virus and saying, okay, the body will respond. We're actually making that nucleus of our body produce, first of all, the protein of the virus, and then the antibodies. That has many more worrying side effects, that you're actually using my nucleus, my DNA equipment to produce something. And we're saying, oh, it's just producing the protein. I don't know. I don't know what this is geared to produce, what this is geared to create. There are actually 29 proteins within the virus itself, as far as we understand. Which of these is it producing? And even though I said this was going to be my last moment, we already know there are 20 different strains. We already know there are 40 different mutations. So which strain, which mutation, and if it's a different mutation or this virus is mutating, do we need to keep taking new vaccines? And what will that mean? Does that mean I have to have 40 different types of messenger RNA put into my body to produce this new protein that is like the virus, so that I can then produce a new vaccine, a new immunization, a new antibodies? So just to be clear, we're being given messenger RNA, which is literally just programmed to produce the protein that is believed to be within this virus, to then have that protein to act as the antigen that then creates antibodies in our body. That seems to be a very long way round for something which we are still looking at fairly low levels of mortality in the world. So I ask you to look into this, shine a light on this. I'm not going to say take it or not. You might say, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to allow, I think, other people to have the experience first. That's my sense. If I can hold back, I will. Because I'm not sure we have done fully efficient safety tests. And until we do, I feel that we have no idea how this is going to impact not just the virus or whether we catch the virus. We have no information on long-term effect, but also how this is going to affect us in other ways. And my last thought, this is my last thought about illumination. Let's take it outside again. Things are being illuminated. If I am an illuminated being already, if I am not on some pathway that has to make me more enlightened, if karma is not making me suffer this life, all that baloney that we've been believing, if we are really just saying, I am here to live the fullness of my life and to take on board everything that I am without judgment, without deceit, without hiding, and that I am willing to be revealed for who I am and take ownership of who I am in the most effective way I can be. That's all we want. Then what we see is that we become our own teachers, our own leaders, our own self-guided beings who are willing to be accountable for our actions. And what's going to show up in these next few months and years is that those who have the illusion of power do not understand the power of illusion. There are those who believe that they are powerful over others, but in the end, the illusion will break down and they will realize that that was just all it was. Let us shine light on illusion. Let us shine the light of truth on everything that's happening. Let us be bold enough to step outside the box of safety and only wanting the information that resonates with us. Let us be brave enough to listen and look to things that perhaps are new to us. And when they're new, we can make better decisions about what resonates with me, what doesn't. Not with my mind, but with my heart. Our heart is taking us now into places of mystery, places of the unknown. They are unfamiliar. They may be shaky. But we all know the difference between anxiety because of, oh my goodness, this is new, this is scary, I haven't looked here before, and the don't go there. I want you to feel the excitement of Jupiter as we get expanded beyond our normal spaces. And it is a little scary and it is a little exciting. Let's shine our light. Let's be brave. Let's be curious. And let us seek the true north, the true direction that takes us out into the stars and beyond. Because the universe doesn't exist just out there. It exists within us now. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.